Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Inner West Local Planning Panel. What I'll do before we start rolling is firstly acknowledge the lands to which we are meeting today on the Gadigal and Wangal people of the Eora Nation. And we'd like to recognise those elders, both past and present. Ladies and gentlemen, this will be a public meeting, and we're requesting that everyone who speaks be respectful of others that speak, and also stay to your 3 minutes if you'd be so kind. We've got a very vicious timer on board today, and you'll get a gong after 3 minutes. So I'm sure we won't need to do that. But I'd like to introduce you to the panel who's adjudicating on the matters before you. Firstly, I'm the chairman. My name's Gary Shields. My background is as a consultant and as a local government planner with a bit of time in the Land and Environment Court. I'm also chairing on a few panels. My experience spans some 40 years, at least. That's what I'm prepared to admit to. And I have considered the items here today. I've been to each of the sites and I don't have any conflicts of interest. Mary Lynn Taylor, I understand you're stepped aside for the first, well, before you step aside, you're still here in the public meeting. Can you just introduce yourself before you excuse yourself from item 7, which there is a conflict?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Mary Lynn Taylor, I'm an expert member of this panel here today, and I sit on a number of panels and inaugurated the first panel in New South Wales back in the 90s. And I'm a town planning lawyer. I have a conflict in matter number 7, which I think you might bring to the fore and start off with number 7, Mr. Chair. If you do, that's fine with me. I have a conflict because the legal firm where I work has been advising the owner of number 7, item number 7. Thank you.
Thank you. Ken Hawke.
My name's Ken Hawke. I'm the community representative on the panel. I have lived in the Inner West for 45 years, and I have a 40-year career in local government planning, my final position being as Director of Planning and Environmental Services at Marrickville Council. Thank you.
Thanks, Ken. And you don't have any conflicts today?
No conflict of interest in any of the items.
And you're familiar with the sites that we're deliberating on?
Yes, I visited all sites.
Well done. Thank you. Kim Cristani, could you please introduce yourself? Turn your mic on first. You'll have to come off mute, Kim.
Oops, apologies. I'm a director of Order Architects and I'm a consultant on this panel as an expert. I'm a life fellow of the Australian Institute of Architects. I was previously the director of architecture and station precincts for Sydney Transport for New South Wales on the Sydney Metro project, and I still advise them on the design review panel, and I'm the part-time city architect at Parramatta, where we're successfully running a lot of design competitions. I have no conflicts of interest today. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim. There's a number of council officers that have been assisting us with this matter, and I won't introduce those officers to the public meeting. There's been a request for item 7 to be dealt with first, and Mary Lynn Taylor, for the reasons mentioned, is excluding herself from that. And I believe we have one speaker. Is that correct? Do we have one speaker on this matter or more than one speaker?
I will step down then.
Thank you. So I understand we have Mr. Griffin speaking. Stephen Griffin, are you there? You wish to address the panel today?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Good day to the fellow panel members. I represent the applicant in this matter number 7, which is for 42 Mullins Street, Balmain. We have received and reviewed the assessment report and the draft conditions, and we have no objections to the recommendation that has been put forward by council officers. So I really don't need to address the panel any further other than to say that I'm here to accept any and answer any questions that there may be. And otherwise ask the panel to make a determination in accordance with the recommendation.
Thanks, Mr. Griffin. Does anyone have any questions of Mr. Griffiths?
I have no questions.
I have no questions, Mr. Chair.
And I have no questions, Mr. Griffin. You've had a very light afternoon.
Just the way I like it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Can I just advise your good self and the rest of the people in the audience that we'll be deciding all of these matters today in camera, and the decisions made by the panel will be placed on the website. Can I also make a request generally of everyone, please? If while you're not speaking, if you can turn your microphones on mute, because it does cause a considerable amount of background noise. Thank you, Mr. Griffin. We'll move on to the next item, which is now item 2, 32 Albert Parade, Ashfield. And Martin, I understand we have a few speakers on this matter.
Oh, thank you. I'll come back in. Thank you.
Come back in, please.
Yes, that's right, Chair.
Is the first speaker Mr. Favaloro? Is he with us?
He doesn't appear to be in the gallery, Chair.
Thank you. What about Ms. Villapilli?
She's there and not, and she's not. She's muted.
Is she there? And...
yes. Oh, she's right now. She should be right now.
Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Villapilli. Will you please address the panel and let us know what you'd like to say?
Yes, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you, Chair. My name is Barbara Villapilli, and I live in Eccles Avenue at Ashfield, and I'm representing the people from Albert Parade and Eccles Avenue in regards to the subdivision and development of 32 Albert Parade. That's DA 2021-530. There's been various submissions that have outlined the objections and concerns, but we also notice there's a variation to the DCP of under the subdivisions clause 5.2 that states that battle axe blocks not to be approved. And this is to ensure that the proposal doesn't impact neighbouring properties, which lot one of this proposal seems to be doing on its southern boundary. In its performance criteria, the required amenity to adjoining land to be minimised, along with the acoustic and visual privacy. The southern boundary of this property will be impacted along with the solar aspect once the ground level is raised 0.8 to 0.9 metres above the existing ground level. Eccles Avenue is a conservation estate, and the size and bulk of the two dwellings will have a visual impact to this avenue. Our question is why and what process was undertaken to override the DCP? How many, if any, blocks have been approved by the Inner West Council as battle axe blocks in the recent years or since the current DCP of 2016. And one more thing, with the subdivision going as a Torrens title, assuming it will be a freehold, is, if that's correct, does the driveway width meet the criteria for a battle axe block? Should I proceed with what else I have to say?
Yes, you've got 3 minutes, so please do. This is your one and only chance.
Okay, it's already been highlighted that most of the people have done an inspection. That was the question, if people have actually done a visual inspection and appreciate the impact, the amenity of adjoining properties, as photographs just definitely don't show the current situation. Concerns also have been raised over the end use of the proposed dwellings, as the appointment within each doesn't represent what a family home would require. It's leaning more towards communal living. If that be the case, should safety and building codes be reviewed to ensure every aspect is covered in the event that the purpose of use does change and they become short-term accommodation or a boarding house, etc., where requirements need to be met? Then there's a question of, there's a lily pili on the southern boundary, which is a mature Eastern Australian native, and it provides wonderful amenity to the surrounding properties, all of which will be visually impacted with the current proposal. Removing healthy established trees is not always beneficial for development projects.
Excuse me, Chair, that's 3 minutes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Can I just say we're not in a position today to answer all of your questions.
Okay.
I can say that all of your questions are answered if you've read the agenda and had the opportunity to read the council officer's report. If you've not had that opportunity, can I counsel you to do that because those matters have been addressed in some detail. Thank you very much for your comment today. Okay. And it'll be considered by the committee later. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And our next speaker, Martin, can you help me whether our no-show is actually showed now or we moved on to the...
It doesn't seem to be in the gallery, Chair.
Okay. We also have, do we not, two applicant representatives. Is that so?
We do, Chair, yes.
So I just hear from the, I'll give the objector one more chance. Mr. Favalora, is he with us? Okay. Then perhaps we'll move to the applicant's representative. So they are here today?
They do appear to be here, if they can make themselves known to the panel.
Make themselves known, thank you.
Yes, Mr. Chair. My name is Chabot. I'm the town planner that's on the project.
Thank you. Would you like to address the panel, sir?
I'm more than happy to address the panel. Unless Zia, did you want to address the panel first, or did you want me to just go through some of the objectors' comments?
Well, I think we're both here to take any questions in any way, if there's any concerns. I personally would like just to quickly comment on the conditions and just highlight a few things for the panel to consider, if possible.
That's fine. Would you proceed, please?
If I may just start with that then, Charbel, and if there's any questions related to planning, you could address that. If I may take the panel to the conditions that are requiring some changes to the drawings. Sorry, just trying to get them again. Yeah.
Can I assume that you're speaking generally in favour of the recommendation? Is that correct?
Definitely.
Yes. Definitely. Thank you.
I could
I'd be surprised if you're not, but look.
I mean,
I'm sure of that.
I take the objections on board, and I could put yes. from my heart, and the panel would probably appreciate that the design has been.
Well, if you can respond to the objectors' comments, that would be useful as well.
Yeah. I mean, to assist the panel, I mean, you've seen the report as you've mentioned, Gary, and that solar panels have the solar issues have been. Addressed with the plan. I provided additional information as an hourly study, and that demonstrates that all the courtyards around the subject site has still receiving more than 2 hours of sunlight to their courtyards in accordance to the DCP. The driveway with obviously we've had a look at it, and I don't think that's causing any adverse impact to any of the neighbors, and the planner was happy with it as well. The use of the building, I can also assure you that I think that the community in the area are aware of the old DA that was on site, if you look at the history. And my client was trying to see if it was possible to put a boarding house, which is definitely dropped the idea, and the use of these two houses would be single dwellings.
We're familiar with that background, thank you.
Yes, I'm just highlighting just in case. And the trees, there was an arborist involved, and obviously the major trees, the trees that are staying, we made sure that we cleared the areas around, especially the large tree at the top left corner. Now, I think that addresses all the issues that have been raised, unless I missed something. Now, with regard... Sorry, Mary, were you trying to talk?
Yes. Ziad, what relationship are you to the owner?
Sorry, I missed that.
What relationship are you to the owner?
No relationship whatsoever. I'm just the architect.
Oh, you're the architect. I'm sorry. Why can't you keep the lily pilly? Why can you not keep the lily pilly tree?
Is it possible to keep the tree that was mentioned by the objector?
Sorry, I don't have the arborist report just in front of me here, but we're talking about the tree that is just adjacent to the patio for lot one?
I don't know. I'm expecting you to know what is the tree, because the neighbours have been complaining about you removing it.
Yes, we're removing a couple of trees, so I'm just trying to clarify which tree it is on site.
Well, perhaps your planner can work that out while you finish your address, sir. Have you finished now, or do you wish to say more?
I would like to say more later with regard the changes that have been proposed in the conditions.
Well, there won't be a later. It's now or never. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll do it now then. I haven't finished. Thank you.
So
I would like to mention that I've noticed that councils have some concerns with regard to the privacy of next door. And we've been asked to raise most of the windows that are facing south and east to be 1.6 meters sill. If we go to the elevation, I would just like to highlight to the panel that the floor to ceiling on the first floor level is actually only at 2.4. So all I'm trying to say is instead of having to raise all these windows, we're more than happy to put, we've got mullions halfway through the windows on the first floor. So we're more than happy to put obscure glass. So this way we ensure privacy for the neighbors. Yet we ensure also better amenity for these bedrooms. I also note that we are at a substantial setback from the boundary. So, I don't think there will be any adverse impact, and we'll achieve the same objective if we put obscure glass to this level. So if you go to the elevations, you'll see that the elevations are nicely designed to have the windows aligned. Yet some of the windows have been picked to go higher, some of them, and I thought this is going to be aesthetically not appropriate to what we're trying to achieve. We could still achieve the same outcome, providing the same privacy for the neighbors by obscuring the bottom part of these windows that council has picked on without really modifying the elevation to the point where it wouldn't look really.
Which elevation specifically are you referring to?
Basically it's lot one. If we go to the design changes, we're talking an eastern elevation window relating to the rumpus room of lot one. dwelling one, which is the ground floor.
Which elevation, sir?
Take us to the plan number.
Is the elevation of block one, which is 4001.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think we better go one by one. So we've got two.
So why don't we start at the western elevation at the top of the page? You're saying there's no issues with the western elevation.
No, the northern
elevation, no issues with that.
No issue for the west, no.
So the eastern elevation, what are you saying? That those bottom windows be obscure glazing?
Eastern elevation, councils requested to raise these two windows at the ground.
I understand, but what I just want to know what you're requesting. You're requesting the bottom single or double panels be obscure?
I'm requesting two things. For these two windows on the ground, I would just like to highlight the fact that these are substantially lower than the next door neighbor. The RL of the patio of next door neighbor is at 19. My ground floor is at 17.25. If a person is standing in that room, his head would be at the same level of the ground where next door neighbor will be standing. And I think it will be irrelevant to make these windows smaller or bigger, these two windows only. But I'll leave that with the council, with the panel, should you agree on leaving this condition. Now, for the top window, that is, which is on level one, you can see that the windows are all aligned parallel to the eave, with the top all having the same top. And we have two type of windows. Some are going all the way to the top of the parapet, which approximately 1 meter, and one of them are approximately 1.3 meters. Having to lift these windows further up, which is the one above these two windows on the ground, I'm referring to the window that would be in bedroom one. I'm suggesting.
Sorry, can you refer it to elevations, please?
Yes,
we've got the west, north, east, southern elevations. We're talking about lot one. Which windows are you talking about, sir?
Talking about the lot one.
Yes.
East elevation.
Thank you.
Yes.
East. So back to the eastern elevation again, at the top level.
At the top level, which is, if you look at the plan, it's in bedroom one, just to make sure which one, because there's many of them there.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair, can I ask a question, or will we wait?
Just bear with me one second, okay. Kim, I can just try and get the to the nub of this issue. It's a bit unclear. So we're on the eastern elevation. Is the eastern elevation the only area you seek to vary a condition?
Yeah, so council has requested.
That's a yes or no. Is that the only windows you're seeking to vary the condition the eastern elevation?
There's a couple of windows, but basically they're the same outcome. So what I'm trying to say, instead of raising these windows, I would like to frost the bottom side of the windows as they are all divided in half.
So I understand what you're asking for. I just want to know which elevations. The only ones you've told us about so far is lot one on the eastern elevation.
Thank you. Gary, if I may just go to the conditions, page 24, they're all listed there. So this is one. Second one would be the southern elevation. If we go to the southern elevation.
These are rumpus rooms.
That's right. There's the rumpus room. That's what
not bedrooms.
Plan. It gets a bit confusing if we don't refer to the plans. So southern elevation, they want the guest and the rumpus room as well to be treated the same. And I'm happy to frost this window rather than make them smaller. If not, should the panel find that no, we need to make him smaller, I'm happy to accept the condition.
Okay. All right. Anything else you'd like to share with the panel today?
No, that's it.
Thank you. Kim, you had a question.
I just have a question, Ziad. You've got a lot of your rooms have got windows in either two or three of the walls in the room, which is quite nice. So there'll be plenty of light and ventilation. If the windows were obscured, are you happy to have those lockable so that they're not open for ventilation? Because the issue there is then once the windows are open, the obscure glass has no meaning.
Yes.
So yes. You know, that's why council has requested the yes. privacy issue. Yes. But since you have got orientations in a number of facades, are you requesting for them to be obscure and not operable?
Yes, I don't mind. I agree with you. This is a good solution.
Okay, well, we'll discuss. All right.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you.
Has anyone else got any questions of the applicant or the applicant's planner? Has the applicant planner been able to find that tree?
Mr. Chair, I was just having a look at the demolition plans. The only tree with respect to not being located within the centre of the development is a tree to the western boundary. I'm not sure if you have the demolition plan in front of you. It would be plan number 6002, I believe. So I believe that that is the only tree, or that's the lily pilly that's in question here.
And is that lily pilly being removed?
I believe, so having a look at that elevation plan, I believe that is the lily pilly that's been spoken about.
And it's being removed in, as far as a demolition plan's concerned, is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Did you wish to say anything else to the panel?
Well, I'm happy to answer. Well, as a general comment, as you would have been able to tell, we agree with council's recommendation. I'm happy to answer any questions with regards to any further questions from a planning perspective that council may have, or even provide any further clarity on any of the comments that Ziad has touched on earlier. I don't have any sort of, we completely agree with council's assessment. And as you stated earlier, council has thoroughly gone through the objectors' comments and provided commentary upon those. I don't want to bore you with basically replaying what council has said, but I'm happy to take any questions if you have any.
Being advised that the lily pilly is on the southern boundary, you were...
Well, I don't see any tree being removed on the southern boundary on that demolition plan.
Okay.
Why don't you have a look at the... you've got an arborist report?
I wasn't privy to the updated arborist report because I do know that this was provided as additional information to council.
Perhaps you can do that while we're dealing with other items and advise someone that can pass it back to the panel.
I'm looking at it while we're discussing that very quickly. I think we just need 5 minutes if possible, and we could clarify this matter.
Well, you pass it on to the council representatives. I'm afraid we've got to keep moving. We've got a number of items on the agenda today, and we'll be pleased to hear from you. But the appropriate forum now is to advise the council officer, perhaps with a short email.
Mr. Chair, I do, just before you let us go, I do want to note, so council has reviewed the arborist report that we've provided. I do note that there are 31 trees on site with four trees within 5 metres of the proposal. Council's officers have assessed the trees that we are proposing to remove and are quite happy for those trees to be removed. And I also want to stress that we also provide sufficient landscaping to replace or compensate any tree that is being removed within our proposed development. We take your comments on board, and we can provide a comment to council. Ziad, if you want to pop yep. that email to council.
I've looked at the...
Sorry, this is not a chat session. Okay. You make a presentation and that's the end of it. I'm finishing this item. We've looked at your landscape plan. We're very impressed with it. And I thank you both for your submission. So any panel member got any further questions of these fine gentlemen?
No, Mr. Chair.
I still think we haven't really got an answer on the lily pilly, and I would like to know it. I've read the council report. I know exactly what it says.
And this,
why the lily pilly is going.
These gentlemen are going to come. One of these gentlemen will come back to us and tell us about the lily pilly.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. I already found it. So the lily pilly is the one on lot one next to the guest room on the ground floor. And this tree is within...
Sorry, the question is, does the lily pilly stay or go?
It goes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions in relation to this item or the infamous lily pilly?
No.
If not, we'll move on to the next item, which is item three. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for your time. Thank you, panel.
Thank you. Item three is 2 Tessel Street, Ashfield. And Martin, we don't have any presenters on this matter.
That's correct, Chair.
Does the panel have any comments, questions of the architect? If the architect's here, is the architect from King Architects here?
There's no registered speakers on this one.
There's no registered respondents either. Okay, thank you. Having said that, then we'll move on to the next item. Martin, I wish they're all like this. Thank you. Item 4 is 26 Mackenzie Street, Leichhardt.
We have some speakers on this one, Chair.
We do have some speakers on this one. And
Elaine Rolfe, Chris Major, and Karen Arthur.
I believe they're
They're all applicants, are they? All applicant representatives?
Correct.
All right. Can I hear from the applicants? Ms. Rolfe, can I hear from you?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to the panel. As mentioned, we have 3 speakers on behalf of the applicant. We would first like to say that we absolutely support the recommendation of the council officers for approval of the application. However, we do not accept conditions 2A, 2B and 2C, and we request that the panel delete those draft conditions from the consent. Unfortunately, we weren't really given an opportunity to resolve any of those issues prior to the matter being referred to the panel. However, we did submit additional information on the 21st of August, so hopefully the panel has had an opportunity to review that documentation. We do have Chris Major from Welsh & Major Architects and Karen Arthur from Shaw Reynolds on the call to talk further about conditions 2A, 2B and 2C. Just quickly though, 2A is in relation to the solar panels. The council has requested that they be located on the north and flush to the roof. And they're primarily driven by heritage comments and the perception that the panels actually are causing shadow impact. The panels do not cause a significant or unreasonable shadow impact. The greatest shadowing from the proposal is actually from the roof form, the new roof form, which the council officers have assessed as being acceptable. The solar panels actually need to be on the southern side and raised to maximise the solar access. The tree in the park, which you would have seen from your inspections, is quite large and is directly to the north and impacts the solar that's been able to receive, which is why the existing panels are on the south side and also raised. The proposal provides 2 rows of solar panels, raised similar to the existing, but reduced in length to reduce the visibility from Mackenzie Street. To impose condition 2A would actually be contrary to the existing situation and would actually limit the effectiveness of the panels to a point where it's barely worth installing them. On condition 2B, which is the angled window for the study, council requires that the window be flush, but the planning officers recognise that by doing that, they'll create a potential privacy issue to the property at 24 Mackenzie Street, and they have therefore recommended obscure glazing. The angled window addresses the privacy issue as it focuses the glazing towards the street rather than the neighbouring property. The window is also set back 12 metres from the street. It will be barely visible or noticeable from the public domain. And it has a GFA of less than 0.6 square metres. So it's not contributing any impact in a GFA sense. And the council officers have accepted and support the clause 4.6 variation to their FSR control. And finally, the legal advice attached to that correspondence you received confirms that the window, as well as the clothesline and the air conditioning units, do not substantially interfere with the right of way, as the council officers have alluded to. Reasonable access to the right of way is still maintained. And for the same reasons as presented in the legal advice, we therefore request 2C to be deleted as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy to hand it over to Chris.
Thank you.
Hi, my name's Chris Major. I'm from Welsh and Major Architects. We're the architects for the proposal. So firstly, thank you, Elaine. Elaine's covered most of the points that I wanted to raise, but from a design point of view, I wanted to just reiterate that the design is very much based on a sort of minimal intervention approach and one that's very strongly focused on sustainability. And we believe that the proposed design changes compromise both the livability and sustainability of the proposal. The letter that Elaine referred to that was submitted on the 21st of August provides some additional detail in relation to this matter. And the two design issues, the angled window and the solar panels, are being primarily raised on the basis of heritage concerns. So I wanted to quickly refer you to that letter from on the Urbis letterhead, which you should have. And on page 2 of that letter, it does show the location of the site in relation to the conservation area. The conservation, I'm not sure if you've all got that handy. The conservation area is focused around Stanley Street and Wetherill Street and very much relates, the significance of it very much relates to the presentation of the single dwellings along those streets. The subject site is a right on the corner of the heritage area and is quite an anomaly within the built form context of the conservation area and does not feature at all in what is significant within that area. It's not visible from Stanley Street or Wetherill Street, and you can see the view on page 2 of that letter that shows how little visibility there is. The angled window is objected to by council on both heritage grounds and legal grounds in terms of the right of way. As Elaine has mentioned, we believe the window does not impact the legal obligations of the right-of-way. It's raised more than 2.7 metres off natural ground at that point. It's 12 metres back from the street front and only sits out from the edge of the building by less than half a metre. There is an image on page 3 of that letter that shows the view from the street and the location that that window would be in. The window very much connects a mezzanine level within the existing building, and it's an existing mezzanine, with the private open space that exists down the side of the building and focuses the view out towards the site, towards the street. And we believe that it does not have any negative impact on the conservation.
It's off a study, is that correct?
Yes, it is for a study.
Thank you.
The other issue that's been raised is the solar panels. And as you can see from this view, also on page 3 of that additional information, you can see a raised panel just behind the power pole there on that street view on page 3. Now, there is an existing run of solar panels on the building. As Elaine mentioned, they've been located on the southern side because the northern side of the roof is substantially overshadowed for most of the year. The panels extend quite close to the Mackenzie Street elevation. And in the proposal, we are taking 3 panels off that Mackenzie Street end of the solar panel row, relocating those to a second row located towards the middle of the building and adding additional panels to make up a full second row. So we're not quite doubling the solar panel capacity of the building, but we are trying to provide additional solar panel capacity so that the building can be almost entirely run off solar power. If you look at page 6 of that same letter.
Sorry, Chair, that's 3 minutes.
Thank you. Can you finish off there?
I can. On page 6, there is an aerial view, and we have marked up in red there where the two rows of solar panels are proposed, as opposed to where the existing row exists. And you can also see in that aerial image the extent of the tree in the adjacent park and how that has a significant overshadowing impact on the northern side of the roof. But thank you for your time and the and allowing me to present.
Thank you. Do we need to hear from the solicitor?
I don't know.
He's simply going to tell us that we can build the window over the right of way. Is that correct, Mr. Solicitor?
At a certain height.
Mr. Arthur, is that correct?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and panel.
I'm sorry, Karen. I do apologise. Karen Arthur.
Completely fine. My name is Karen Arthur and I'm a solicitor at Shaw Reynolds Lawyers.
Thank you.
I've been asked by the proponent to speak to you today regarding the draft conditions proposed on the consent. We've provided legal advice to the owner and our advice was provided by Urbis to the council on the 21st of August.
We've read that advice. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. In particular, I've been asked to address you in relation to Council's proposed conditions 2B and 2C. Those conditions relate to window W06, that's the small angled window to the southern side elevation serving the upper level study. The assessing officer raised a concern that the window protrudes from the south elevation and a condition is included that requires the proposed window to be flat to the existing sidewall of the building. I've been briefed with the submission from Urbis to Council and support the merit arguments set out in that letter. The effect of the condition would be to change the orientation of the window being oriented away from the street and instead directly facing the neighbour. We submit that the better planning outcome would be to retain the window as a small angled window and thereby avoid the privacy and amenity impacts associated with changing its design. We acknowledge that there's a right of way in the southern side setback of the property. The window, the subject of the conditions, is in the area of the right of way. However, the window is not at a point at which it could reduce the width of the right of way. The law on this point is summarised in a 1986 case called Stewart and Cooper. That case says that landowners cannot materially or substantially interfere with the enjoyment of persons who have the benefit of the easement. We examined whether the proposed work would cause material or substantial interference with the enjoyment of the easement. In our view, the owner of the land with the benefit of the right-of-way will still be able to use the right-of-way and there is no substantial interference with enjoyment of it. Thus, we have provided legal advice that the window does not interfere with the right-of-way. The window is not contrary to the right-of-way in that it does not interfere. Indeed, the amenity outcome of having the window face the street is better than facing the neighbour. And therefore, the two conditions should be deleted. In summary, we respectfully request that the panel delete condition 2B in its entirety and delete condition 2C in its entirety. And I thank the chair and panel members for their time.
Thank you for your submission. Anyone have any questions of the speakers, any of the panel members?
Yes, I do, if I may.
Mr. Hawk, thank you.
Whoever's relevant to answer this, but I'm interested in whether any consideration has been given to the mural, which is on the northern boundary wall with the park, and how you, obviously your development will impact on that mural, and have you had any thoughts about it?
I can probably respond to that one. Yes, we're very conscious of the mural on the northern boundary and it's a lovely piece of art for the community there. The idea is to have minimal impact, retain the mural that is there at the moment. There will obviously be some impact with the two proposed windows there, but our clients would be more than happy to work with council around how to make good as much as possible around the work. And we would certainly be looking to minimise any damage to the mural outside of the immediate zone of the windows.
So that outer wall's retained, is it?
All of the walls of the existing warehouse are retained in large part, other than some new openings.
Substantially demolished facing the street, though.
No, that elevation is the existing elevation to the street as well. The minimal intervention approach, I suppose, is to keep the existing building as intact as possible. There was a previous DA approved on the site that had a much higher level of intervention and change, but we've taken a different approach.
Right. Oh, thank you for that.
Sorry, can I respond to that?
Sure.
Yes, Mr. Hawke.
Look, just getting back to the mural. You know, the mural is probably quite old, and if there was a decision to decommission it, would you be, a new work might be more appropriate there?
I think that's a lovely idea.
Okay. So you'd be happy with the condition that outlined it?
Is there a suggestion that the owners of the property would provide that mural, or would it be a council initiative? Or
yeah, look, I mean, it's the quantity of X, isn't it? What it is, but in principle, the idea of actually allowing it to be used, I think, is as far as we might go with the condition.
I think my clients are extremely happy with that. They use that park a lot and they love that mural.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other comments? No. Thank you so much for your presentation. Kim, sorry, did you say
No, thank you very much for a good presentation. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, panel.
Thank you, Ms. Rove. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, Gary.
Moving right along, that's the end of item four. In case you didn't hear us previously, we'll deliberate and make a decision on that later in camera. Item five, 70 Trafalgar Street. And we have a Mr. Pagan presenting to us. Mr. Pagan, are you in the audience?
I'm here. Can you see me, Chair?
I can now. Thank you.
Good. Good afternoon and good afternoon, panel.
Good afternoon. We'd love to hear from you.
Well, look, I hope to be extremely brief. I don't have any issue to take with the assessment report. I'm just here in case there are any questions that the panel might have.
I have none, thank you.
I've got no questions.
No questions, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Pagan, you've got off very lightly this afternoon.
Yeah, well, if the objectors haven't fronted, then yes, that's easy for me. Thank you very much.
And Mr. Pagan, good to see you as well. Take care. Panel, we'll again, as I said previously, we'll decide that matter later in camera, and the decision will be available on the website. Moving on to item six, we have 27 Junction Road, Summerhill. And we do have someone addressing us on this matter. And just help me if you'd be so kind, Martin.
It should be Saxon, excuse me for this, Grujovic.
That's close enough. I'll take that.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair and panel.
Thank you.
I'll be representing 27 Junction Road. Largely,
are we going to see your face?
Yes, just give me a
second. Mr. Grujovic? Thank you.
How's that?
That's much better. Thank
you. That's good. So largely, we're in favour of the DA condition and approval. We just have a couple of, I guess, changes we'd like to make against the recommended conditions of consent changes. So those are relating to item number 2, A, B, C, and D. And I guess I'll just run through each one individually.
Sorry, can you give those numbers again to us if you do
so? So it was under number 2, design change.
Yeah.
And the numbers. Letters A, B, C, and D.
Page 328 of our agenda.
Yep. So the first one was for the proposed change of the existing tiled roof to a colourbond roof is not approved. All notations of a colourbond roof are to be deleted. The roof must remain as a tiled roof. Replacement of any damaged existing tiles permitted. So the applicant requests to remove this condition of consent and allow the approval of the change from a tiled roof and associated roof elements to a colourbond roof. This is based on the existing roof. It's in a, I guess, a failed or failing condition at the moment. There's a bit of water ingress and the roof is failing to act as like a suitable weatherproofing and waterproofing barrier for modern living standards, which is what we're trying to achieve, I guess. It's reached its end of life and it's not going to be possible or feasible for future roofing contractors or builders to, I guess, complete the necessary repairs or spot repairs as the condition sort of suggests and provide a warranty moving forward.
Okay, thank you. B?
So B was the proposed balcony to bedroom 2 of the first floor unit facing Junction Road is not approved and is to be deleted. The existing window opening to bedroom 2 is not to be altered and is to remain in its current form. Applicant requests to remove this condition of consent and allow the approval of the balcony. This is based on an original meeting during the pre-DA phase where the balcony was originally documented as a translucent balustrade. It was then suggested to change this as a solid structure. So when you were looking back from a streetscape, it would read as a solid structure. This was revised in the last set of drawings issued to council and included in that. So we asked for the change to be considered. Item number C, the courtyard and retaining wall within the front setback to Junction Road, access from bedroom 1 of the ground floor unit is not approved and is to be deleted. The existing window form is not to be altered and is to remain in its current form. The applicant requests to remove this condition of consent and allow the approval of the courtyard and new opening. This is based on two reasons. So firstly, 2 doors down at number 21 and 19 Junction Road, there's multiple terrace houses with a similar sort of styled front courtyard concealed by fencing and various plants. The fence of number 19 and number 20 is much higher than the surrounding properties, and we'd look to have a similar courtyard feel and area in the property of number 27. That's, I guess, item number one, why we would like this to be reconsidered as part of the approval. And item number two was based on the pre-DA meeting that requested the original 1.8 metre high fence was to be removed and replaced with planting and landscaping, provide privacy for the courtyard space. So in case any future occupants of the building were to, I guess, take over that space, they would have to obviously maintain the courtyard to provide that privacy. This was considered in the current design, and we would see that, we'd like to see that it's reconsidered in the approval.
Okay, and thank you.
Finally, number D, the proposed in-ground swimming pools located within the rear are not approved and must be deleted. So based on a few discussions, I guess, verbally, there was no issue from a planning perspective. However, it was based largely on the arborist report received. We request that this condition is removed and the pools are approved, provided a more detailed arborist and site investigation is undertaken during the secondary arborist report submitted. It was during a time where we were sort of restricted by COVID and the current built form that's there. So there's an old laundry shed that sits in the rear of the property. And unfortunately, as it is occupied and still in use, we would need to obviously do a little bit more digging and investigation once that shed is removed to see if the tree was impacted or the roots of that neighbouring tree was impacted. So I guess that's the reason why we would like that approval included in this development application.
All right. Thank you.
That's all from my end. If there's any questions, I'm happy to answer them and appreciate allowing me to talk on this.
Thank you. Panel, do you have any questions?
Yes, Mr.
Chair. Sorry, Kim, you want to go?
No, I was going to just prompt Chris to talk about the Calabond roof.
Do that one first, because and then yeah. On to the last question, so you go first.
Oh, I just wondered whether you would, Mr. Gruvik, are you aware of a Calabond product which would present similar to tiles?
I'm not aware of anything. I'd have to speak to the contractors that I've originally engaged to give me a feasibility study on this property. I guess from my architect's perspective, the original proposal was for a corrugated roof sheeting material, which is very similar to what is at 21 Junction Road or 19 Junction Road. And around the corner, you've got actually on Morris Street, I think number 50 Morris Street, a very similar corrugated roofing sheet used there. So that's the direction we were heading with that. And I guess it's just surrounding that more. You're getting more warranty with that product. So instead of running down the pathway of trying to identify the areas where this old roof is leaking, because it's over.
Yeah, no, I think we appreciate your concern. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks.
And I just have another question. You putting two pools in these very small backyards is quite intensive. Mm-hmm. Because it is taking up a fair amount of space with the pool fence and so on. And the one next to the adjoining tree is quite impacted. The question would be is if the arborist report was done again and one pool was deleted, the one that is closest to the existing neighbour, which is on the eastern side, how would you feel about that? How would your clients feel about that?
I'd have to have a chat with them.
Because it's the one that's more impacted, obviously, than
yeah,
the one on yeah. the western side. And it's a question, really, that if the arborist report comes back and it's negative yep. towards trying to save this tree, the other question I have is, are they sure they want to put a pool in next to a big tree like that?
Yeah,
they won't be swimming in it. They'll be cleaning out the leaves all the time.
Yeah,
I'm wondering if that's been discussed.
Yeah, we did look down that pathway, and one other option we did come up with was, in lieu of, say, we went down the pathway and the arborist report came back in a negative result for the pools, then we would request that. Possibly a new sort of decking area or external entertainment ground floor space be considered just to provide, I guess, you know, a little backyard space for kids and families to enjoy in those summer, nice summer days.
Do you know what sort of tree that is? Because if the drawing is representative of the spread of the tree, it's massive.
It's massive. And I think that's a also...
Is it a fig tree?
It's a gum tree from memory.
A gum tree.
Yeah.
They throw branches and leaves.
Exactly. With
monotonous regularity.
And I think that's a contributing factor to some of the broken roof tiles that are currently there.
Right.
The leaks. So, you know, obviously we don't want to impact the tree.
Sure.
And cause any issues in that respect. So that's why we thought, well...
Makes you wonder whether a tree like that suited to the site. But that's a bit late now. It's already there. All right. Thank you. Any other questions of the panel?
No further questions.
Thank you so much. Item 7 we've dealt with. Item 8. And we have...
No speakers.
No speakers on item 8. So we can move on from item 8 to item 9, which is a recommendation for refusal. And we don't have any speakers on this either, do we?
No.
Okay. Item 10. Another recommendation for refusal. We do have a speaker on this one. And is that Mr. Shulman?
Yes, here.
Mr. Shulman, you're representing yourself, are you?
I'm representing the applicant.
The applicant. Are you the applicant, sir?
No, the architects are the applicant. I'm the town planner that's worked on the project.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Would you like to address the panel? Thank you.
So firstly, good afternoon, Mr. Chair and panel members. Thank you for the opportunity to address the panel this afternoon. My name is Craig Shulman, and I'm the planner that prepared the planning report for the new semi-detached development in Torrance Tidal subdivision. This is a review of the original application, which was refused. The original application included secondary dwellings above the garages along the rear lane, smaller private open space areas, and more contemporary detailing on the front facade. The issues from the original application were addressed, or have been addressed, through various design amendments to the front facade and roof form, removal of the secondary dwellings from the rear lane, and reduction in the overall GFA and FSR, and increasing the landscaping and private open space areas. So the amended proposal, the one that is before you today, is below the maximum FSR and height, providing an appropriate correlation between the maximum building height and density controls, as well as providing compliant private open space, landscaping, and car parking on the site. The key design elements drew upon the range of dwelling types and styles along Westbourne Street, including single dwellings and cottages, double story, original dwellings, and more recent dwellings, original and more recent terraces with pitched roofs, flat roofs, gabled roofs, and even parapets. So I guess that's highlighting that there is clearly no consistent streetscape or character along Westbourne Street, which gives it its character, essentially. And during the assessment of this review, council sent the applicant a further information request letter that did not specifically raise the original refusal issues relating to bulk and scale and design. Therefore, we assume that the original design issues for refusal have been adequately addressed in the amended proposal. However, the request letter did raise new issues in relation to height, site setbacks, and their relation to solar access provisions and amenity to the rear private open spaces to the dwellings, issues that were not specifically raised in the original assessment of the application. I guess this is to highlight the inconsistent feedback and issues raised by council and the ever-changing goalposts that we need to try and address. And this brings us to today, which is another recommendation for refusal, but it is now heavily based on the overall design, streetscape and solar access issues. The assessment report prepared for the planning panel consistently raises a number of subjective design, bulk and scale, and general neighbourhood context and streetscape character issues. The assessment report includes a number of terms, including elongated roof form, generally uncharacteristic of the area, and also a new one for me, an overscaled presentation. Considering the compliance with the FSR height and setback controls and the mixed context of the area with a variety of building forms, roof pitches, and dwellings with nil setbacks, it has been a very frustrating process to interpret and address the subjective concerns continuously raised by council and no real guidance provided on how to actually address these concerns.
Sorry, Chair, that's 3 minutes.
Okay.
Thank you. Can you bring it to a conclusion, Mr. Shulman?
I can. I just wanted to point this, I guess, just a couple of points. I'll summarise the last few. I guess one of the objectives in the DCP and Objective 07 in Part 2.18, Landscaping Open Space, states that to provide private open space areas which act as an extension of the living area of a dwelling and where practical receive adequate sunlight. So highlighting again conflict between some of the issues of solar amenity to the rear and landscaping and private open space requirements. I guess just one point that we wanted to highlight is there's an adjoining property at 9 Westbourne Street, which was one of the objectives to the original proposal. That property has since been sold to a developer whose intention is to redevelop the site in a similar style. And we have been provided a letter of support from that owner, which we can certainly send to council. And I guess lastly, the main point of this is to, I guess, request that the panel use its independence and professional judgment to overturn the recommendation and approve this development.
Thank you, Mr. Shulman.
Thank you. Sorry, there's a lot to put in that 3 minutes, considering where we're at.
You did very well. So does the panel have any questions of Mr. Shulman?
No.
I have some questions, Mr. Shulman. The building that currently occupies the site, is that the red texture brick one?
It is, yes.
And if there was a building that was out of character with the street, would you say it would be that building?
That one and the one next door at number 9 Westbourne.
At number 9. And then you've got the sort of almost Victorian masonette style buildings on the other side.
Yeah,
which you've sympathised with in your design.
We've kind of set back our development to align with the front setback on the one side.
Yeah.
And the overall style was originally to align with that at number 11 Westbourne, which is two properties down.
Right.
So, and that was a new terrace building. There are a number of other terraces further down the street. But I guess there's a lot of character in those original buildings, which we certainly do not, have.
Well, to the east, they're the, I think I call them Victorian style. You might call them some other style, but they've got the bay windows, either Victorian or Federation. You've generally lined up with those in your design.
We had the original proposal kind of stepped forward of that, but this amended proposal, we stepped to align that property is on the boundary, so we've aligned with our wall to align with that front, their front entry essentially.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I don't have any other questions. Does anyone have any last chance to ask of Mr. Shulman? Thanks, Mr. Shulman, for your address.
All right. Thank you very much.
You've given us some things to think about.
I hope so. Thank you.
Item 11, 40 Milton Street, Asheville. And we do have some people speaking on this one. Martin?
Yeah, you have Catherine Sturge. Catherine Sturge, who's in objecting, and then you have two people on behalf of the applicant, Andrew Martin and Joseph Panetta.
Your namesake and then Mr. Panetta. Yes. Okay. Ms. Sturge, can we hear from you, please?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. I'm an owner-occupier at the property of 44 to 48 Milton Street, and it's to the south of the development. I have a number of concerns for the building proposal at 40 Milton Street. My first concern is the overshadowing issue that will be caused by the new development. The overshadowing will particularly affect the units closest to the development and also our garden area. The unit that is particularly affected is unit one, which will lose all direct solar access to its kitchen and bedroom areas. This will affect the general health and well-being of the occupants and the general livability of the unit itself. The second concern is the building separation between 44 and 48 Milton Street and the new development, which is, it seems, not compliant with the council rules. This will cause privacy issues for the units closest to the development. The habitable rooms on the proposed new development on the southern side from the ground level to level four will look directly into units one, three, and five, kitchen and bedroom in 44 to 48 Milton Street. And again, this will affect the privacy and livability of the properties. My third concern is the development has a shortfall of car parking spaces. Where are the extra cars associated with this development going to park? There are no other parking options around 40 Milton Street, either on Milton Lane, Norton Street, or Milton Street itself. And this will be made worse by the buildings at 380 Liverpool Road and its gym, and also the proposed building that will possibly go up at 378 Liverpool Road. My final point is that Milton Lane has only had to deal with traffic from 18 units at 44 to 48 Milton Street and the townhouses to our east, generally a very low traffic flow. However, with the new developments at 40 Milton Street and the traffic from 380 Liverpool Road, potentially 378 Liverpool Road, there'll be a great increase in the traffic along Milton Lane. The access from our unit block will be compromised into Milton Lane, and our accessibility and access to Norton Street will also be compromised. It seems that the developer is admitted to have a left-in, left-out submission from Milton Lane into Milton Street. This will also cause an issue as far as accessibility through Milton Lane to Milton Street and into Norton Street itself as well. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sturge.
Thank you very much.
Anyone have any questions of Ms. Sturge?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Martin, Town Planner.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and the panel for your time today. Can you hear me?
We can indeed.
Yeah, thank you very much. Andrew Martin, applicant, applicant's town planner. Thank you for the opportunity to address you today. Look, pretty much simply, we go with the recommendation and support council's recommendation. It's an 8.2. We feel we've addressed the issues that were raised previously for the reasons for refusal. So we're pretty much here to answer any questions the panel may have of us. With me, I've got Mr. Panetta, the registered architect, as well to answer any questions. But we ask you to support that recommendation today. We've worked hard to amend the plans and to present to the panel and council a bona fide scheme that we think that will add to the public interest and has an appropriate visual fit and fit for that site, considering its contextual position within the Asheville West precinct.
Mr. Martin and or Mr. Panetta, would you kindly address the concerns of the objector for the benefit of the panel?
Yes, I could. We did address the issue of solar analysis. I made submissions to the council in a detailed response. We obtained the floor plans of the neighbours' premises, and some of the extracts of that submission have made their way into the council report. As the planner, I can say that I've used my best and honest endeavours to assess the application and the impacts of salt shadow on the neighbour's property. That assessment I can read out to you verbatim out of my report, but we do say that the level one and level two units do obtain their 2 hours. They do have more than 2 hours at the moment, but they will retain 2 hours under the ADG. The ground floor apartment's already affected by the existing building itself. And so in that respect, the council report does have extracts of the floor plans of the property next door, which we obtained through extensive GIPPers and waiting a considerable amount of time to obtain those. You'll see that the kitchen and living spaces sort of face west onto Milton Street. So some of the affected windows are the bathroom windows as well in that northern elevation. So those units that are affected are orientated towards Milton Street and to that orientation. So our submission is that the panel could approve this application. It maintains reasonable solar access to those level one and level two units. The ground floor unit is already affected by the existing building and we take no further on that. But in relation to car parking, that's dealt with in the report. In relation to separation distances, I might hand over to Mr. Panetta, but we have made a genuine attempt to provide setbacks along that boundary, which are staggered up the building. So, Mr. Panetta, you might take over from here in relation to that and explain that to the panel.
Thank you, Andrew.
Good afternoon, sir.
So in relation to the building design, we have got some unusual neighbouring forms that we've had to work with. To the north, we have an existing seven-storey building, which is a wedge shape, which is to the north, it's given us the laneway to help us achieve a good separation distance between that building and ours. And that is our primary address of the building to the north. The setback varies.
And orienting to the north as well.
Correct. The building in question, I believe, from the objector was the building to the south, which is also on an angle. What we have done there is create on the ground floor a closer separation with council's advice and support. We've actually been able to relocate the garbage rooms to the south in that area so that the actual residential separation is greater. As the building goes up, that separation increases with highlight windows only to bedrooms from the proposal. So all in all, we say again that the top level, we were able to increase that setback as well. We've reduced a level from the original design. The site is a transition between a seven-storey and a three-storey dwelling building. So we believe that the separation achieves the requirements within that transitional zone that we've worked very closely with council to achieve.
Okay. Thank you. And your previous... Just to refresh my memory, how many units in this one?
The original design was for 37 units.
And the current one?
The current design is 33 units.
And cars in the original?
The traffic...
How many cars initially?
Oh, I haven't got that number in front of me, I'm afraid.
Okay.
I believe it complies with the set.
All right. Any questions of these two gentlemen?
Had the question about the car parking as well. There was 50 cars, I think, in the original, according to the report, and you're now down to 27 or something. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, great. Thank you.
If I could just add a comment, I don't believe our client would have an issue if we had to increase that parking. At the moment, that the design is spaced over 1.5 levels. We could achieve more parking if it was required on that second level. However, the direction that we were given was to try and reduce the amount of parking on site.
Yep.
And could you give me those car numbers again, please?
I believe the proposal is for 26.
Kim, might be your assistance.
Sorry, Kim. I know it's in the report. I just haven't got the report in front of me.
All right. That's fine. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions?
No.
Panel members?
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you for your address. That concludes our public business for this afternoon. We'll now deliberate over those various items and make a determination or make determinations accordingly. And the results will be on the website in the next few days. So thank you all that were here and present and contributed. And I'll declare the public meeting closed at 3:25. Thank you.
Thank you.